from Luke 2, 1 through 7. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Luke 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Cyrenius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
We looked at this passage from a different angle a couple weeks ago than what I'm going to look at today. But before I get into it, did you ever stop to think that John 3:16, that is probably the most well-known verse of Scripture, had an element of Christmas in it? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, who was born as a baby, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the interesting thing, though that is the most familiar, probably the most familiar verse in Scripture, so many people miss it. They miss this gift of love that God sent into this world. And it's so easy to miss things. You know, you ever just missed something? I about missed a funeral a few years ago that I was supposed to preach. The only problem is nobody asked me. It was really funny how I happened to find out that there was this black minister who was one of my patients. And he called me one day. He said, "Well, Brother Dennis, I see you're doing a funeral today." I said, "I don't think so." He said, "Well, yes, it says in the paper, Chaplain Dennis Smith." I said, "Oh, you're kidding me." Then he told me the name of the person whose funeral I'm supposed to speak at, and it was one of my other hospice patients, and I knew that he had no way of knowing that. So I got off the phone with him, called the son, and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought my sister called you." "Wow, I about missed it." I said, "Well, it's okay." I said, "It's about 3 hours from now." So I went home and I suited up, you know, more appropriately for a black funeral because, you know, I knew they'd be dressed up nice. And they were, and I'm glad I went home and got out of my blue jeans and t-shirt. Well, I was just kidding. I wasn't dressed up. But anyhow, so I went home, suited up, got my Bible, went there, did the service, and, you know, about missed it. Wouldn't have been my fault. But I have to confess, same scenario to a degree, probably 3 years ago. I had a family that I connected well with, and they asked me if I would do the funeral service for her dad, and I said I would. And it was going to be a few days later. And so on Thursday morning, I got up, had my Bible, suited up appropriately, go to the office. I make some phone calls, working on some paperwork for deadlines. And I get a phone call, and it's the funeral director. And she says, "Hey, Dennis, I realize you still got a few minutes, but..." And I'm, And she says, but the family just getting a little antsy. They just wanted me to call and make sure you're covered. And I looked at the time. Oh, it's 10 minutes. So I grabbed my Bible, run on out to the car. I tell you, thank you, Lord, for green lights. And it was 1 minute till 10 o'clock I walked in the door. And they never knew. I just about missed it. In the streets of New York City, there was a guy dressed as a clown, riding a unicycle. And it was just a little study that was being done to see who would notice it. Several people obviously noticed it. But they found a number of people who didn't notice it. And this is interesting, because the ones who didn't notice it were either talking on their cell phone, sending a text, doing social media. This is not a commercial for do not text, but I'm just saying, you know, so they didn't notice. Why? Because their mind was preoccupied. There were distractions. They were distracted from what they were doing. Now, in the town of Bethlehem, a crowd of people are going there. And it's because Caesar Augustus ordered a census. Now, you got to know a little bit about Caesar Augustus. He was the successor of Julius Caesar. He was the great nephew and Julius's favorite. He also had a fortune that at least today would have been worth $4 trillion. Which, if you take Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and Jeff Bezos and put them all together, it still doesn't come close to that kind of wealth. And yet, he then orders that all of Rome will have a registration for the purpose of tax. And everybody had to go back to their city of birth. Now, can you imagine the crowd that would, you know, arrive at Bethlehem and all the other cities? I mean, how many years ago was this? It was a long time ago. My son was trying to get his driver's license. It was probably about 24, 25 years ago. And at that time, Nashville, or Tennessee, I guess, had opened it up that anybody, even if you didn't have a social security number, you could come to Tennessee and you could get a driver's license. And I don't know if any of you had to deal with that, but we couldn't hardly even get in to schedule a driving test for my son. So we went to Cookeville, Tennessee. And he got in, took the test, because everybody wasn't flooding to Cookeville. They were just coming to Nashville. Now, that was great that we could do that. But what if we couldn't have done that? And that's kind of what was going on in Bethlehem. There was a crowd there. There was a lot of noise that was going on. And then we come to this innkeeper who, by the way, the Bible never says there was an innkeeper. It just says there was no room in the inn. So we assume there was an innkeeper. So we're going to go with that. There was an innkeeper. But just because there was an innkeeper and there was no room, it doesn't make him a bad guy. I mean, I've seen children's storybooks about Christmas, and the innkeeper has a big finger going, "I have no room." He didn't have to be a mean guy. He was like, "My rooms are full." Have any of you ever got the last room at a hotel? I have. I wouldn't have liked it if the manager came to me and said, "I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave. We got somebody more important." I mean, what could the innkeeper do? He probably had turned away several folks, but I think this guy that we know nothing about obviously had some compassion when he saw the circumstances to say, well, I don't have any room in the inn, but I got this barn, I got this cave, this place where the animals are at. I mean, you can stay there. It's not great accommodations, and so they go there. Now, what was interesting, I often wonder if the innkeeper ever knew who he had stayed there. Wonder if he became a believer, and if he might have thought, wait a minute, that might have been Jesus, the baby Jesus, the Son of God. And if he did, I would hope that he would feel honored that he had provided accommodation. See, I think God was working this whole thing out. Because, now, Caesar Augustus thought he was in charge. See, Caesar Augustus, he gave a mandate. He thought he was in charge. He wasn't in charge. God was in charge. God was working all this stuff to get Jesus to Bethlehem, where he would be born, where it was prophesied in Micah 5:2. And yet, they missed it. There was a lot of noise that was going on there. But then as we continue in the story, we see that he went to the shepherds. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the shepherds. We talked about them a couple weeks ago. But here's the point I want to make. Shepherds were out in their fields keeping watch of their flock. It was night. It was probably quiet. Probably the only place around that would be quiet would be out in the fields. They might have been able to hear the sound of crickets. Maybe hear some birds chirping. Maybe the croaking of frogs. It was quiet. And so quiet that when the angel appeared and said, "Don't be afraid," they're probably catching their heart as it's about to beat out of their chest because it's dark. And you know, if you're walking in darkness and somebody says something to you, you know, oh, it just startles you, you know, more than it would in the daylight. But anyhow, it was quiet. And they heard the angel. And the angel gave them that wonderful message. Do not be afraid, for I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now the shepherds, it doesn't say they went home, took a shower, put on nice robes. It just says they left their flock, probably secured them in some way. Maybe a sheepfold where there was another shepherd, or maybe somebody stayed behind. But anyhow, these shepherds together went to find the baby Jesus. What I think is really fascinating about this is God puts this whole thing together. I don't know what the accommodations were like in the inn, but I would imagine the accommodations in the inn were better than the accommodations of a barn, of where the animals had been. So can you imagine these stinky, smelly, tattered clothes, shepherds, who didn't go home and take a shower, didn't bathe. They just left to go see the baby. If they had walked in, rang the bell at the end, and they're walking in by all of these folks who maybe think they have more class. Wow, they would have had a fit. But they didn't have to go in. They went to a barn where there are already stinky, smelly animals around. I just think that's so cool. You got to put all these details together. Now, here's my point. Sometimes there's a lot of noise, and we can't hear from God when there's a lot of noise. We've got to go find a quiet place. You know, we're distracted by all the noise. We can turn on the radio and it can be Christian music, and that's fine. But sometimes we need to turn it off and actually find that quiet place where we can hear from the Lord. Now, I've kind of come full circle because the last church that we attended, you know, sometimes you go to a church and there were things that were pet peeves. One was, other than the preaching, there was just always noise. It was just loud. And I like music. Don't get me wrong. I love music. But there was no quietness. Even when it came to the Lord's Supper, Sherry and I would be sitting on about third or fourth row from the back, and we're sitting there just having our little prayer time, and before the emblems arrived, they already got the band up there playing for the offering. And it's like, what's up with this? And I asked them about it, and they said, well, we only have it scripted for 3.5 minutes for communion. I'm like, no. I don't care if we... All right, I do not care if we ever triple, double, whatever in size. This is the most important thing we do right here. This is remembering who Jesus is. This is our picture of that. And it's just one of the most important, it's the most important thing here because we find quietness amidst all the distractions. We focus here on remembering Christ. It's important. But we don't just find a quiet place in church. We need to find a quiet place alone with the Lord. You know, one of the scriptures refers to Jesus coming apart to pray. He would come apart from the crowd. And I don't remember who said it, but it was a good line. Jesus came apart so he wouldn't come apart. Yeah, that's what we need to do. We need to have the time where we pray to the Lord and we're having that relationship with him. Then we don't come apart. Marie's testimony was wonderful. A wonderful example of that. That we need to come apart from the problems and the struggles and give them to him so we don't come apart. This morning, as we approach our invitation time, we're going to do a verse of Silent Night where I just want you all to have a moment of quiet with just music playing in the background, but quietness where you can meditate and then join us in singing it following that. worked. I did Facebook Live on our group page, and it looks like we got two or three people that signed on to it with us. So, cool. I was a little technologically challenged on it because I kept hitting the button and it was reversing the image. So it would have been looking at Dot the whole time. So didn't want to tell you that beforehand. But anyhow, that would have been a nice image though. So anyhow, we're glad those folks joined us. We'll get the bugs worked out in this. I wish you all just a very Merry Christmas. Remember Christ this week, his great love and sacrifice. Let's all stand and we'll dismiss. We do thank you, Lord, for your greatest gift. There's so many distractions in the world. People miss the greatest gift of love, even at Christmas. Things get so commercialized that the focus goes on everything but Christ. Even a lot of times people remove his name from Christmas just to shorten it with an Xmas. But once again, not focusing on what it's really about. So we thank you that today we celebrate the birth of our Lord, the life that he lived, his resurrection, and his promise of eternal life for those who surrender to him. We pray that you would be glorified in this day, and glorified in this week, that we will remember that great love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn is number 149, verse 1.